Thank you for joining us here. This is Beyond the Lights, the new podcast here on ESPN Radio 102.7. I'm Pat Doherty. My co-host, Ian Nielsen, joins me here today. And Ian, you know, kind of this idea that, you know, you and I have been talking about this for quite a while. This has been a project that's probably been in the works for about a year now. Since I started, you know, back in coaching with your brother again. But for people who don't know, for our listeners who may not know, you and I played baseball ages ago. It's crazy to think that I'm closing in on the big 3-0. But I remember playing baseball with you when you were 14, 15 years old and got brought up because of your talent. And again, Ian played baseball at Ball State, then finished his career at Taylor. Opportunities to go professionally, that wasn't the route that that, you know, your faith took you on and where you're at now. But pretty happy with where you're at. Just had another son, your first son born, another kid. And first and foremost, let's start right there. What's it like to be a Papa Squared?
Yeah. No, I'll tell you what, it's totally different than one. You know, we have a lot more coordination, planning, you know, and a lot more issues, if you will, at night, mm-hmm. trying to keep everything in line. But, you know, we're making it do. But we're excited because, you know, Eric's got, you know, my brother's got Hudson, mm-hmm. Who's only 3 months older than Owen. So
a couple of young ones.
Yeah.
All right, so the idea and what this podcast is going to be about. So this is a bi-weekly podcast, so 2 episodes a month. Ian and I are going to tackle some of the issues that we believe that go on in sports that we're passionate about, trying to help assist teams and coaches and players who I think the one thing that we both been on teams, and I've had the pleasure of coaching high school student athletes as well, and there's always the issue with how to deal with faith in sports and keep faith in sports, keep God in sports. We talk about this in our school systems and all those type of issues where what's good, what's okay, judging, all those type of things. Today on the podcast, we're actually going to talk to a current Major League Baseball player. Percy Garner is going to join us a little bit later in the show, and he's going to give us a little bit about his thoughts. I mean, he's made it to the top level of his craft. He pitched in the major leagues, and what's that look like when he's had to deal with certain issues of his faith and along the way. We all know that the higher the ladder that you climb, the more that there are of temptations. And how do you deal with those? How do you stay on the right path? And if you do have a valley or get off the path, how do you get back on? And not only that, this podcast is going to tackle a lot of different issues. A lot of the things that I think in sports we don't always like to talk about because they're uncomfortable. Well, Ian and I aren't going to shy away from being uncomfortable. And we hope that with our podcast, this show, Beyond the Lights, we can help a couple of people along the way and deal with some of those issues.
Yeah, I mean, that's the great thing about this is that I know going through my, you know, background, that's something that I was always, you know, wanting, is desiring inspiration, mm-hmm. right? Inspiration to strive for the right things, strive for, you know, maybe whether that's standing out of the crowd, if that's what it entailed, you know, just always needing that guidance because it seems so rare. You know, it seems like, again, it's one of those things that's not talked about, especially in the sports culture. It seems almost as if it's a hush hush, just kind of go with the flow, and if you don't, you're kind of not with the team, and that thing I think is really a big elephant in the room that needs to be exposed, you know, and I think that's what a lot of these topics will try to do, is try to bring those things to light, the real experiences of kids, you know, but also coaches, mm-hmm. and parents. I mean, all those things that people experience, but there hasn't been that much of a guidance on, hey, we might think this might be a better way to go and deal with this in our culture, society, and to not diminish, you know, the emotions of kids and, mm-hmm. and some of the things they experience that could lead to, you know, maybe suicidal thoughts or just feeling rejected, which could, again, play into their life later. So there's so much that this podcast can bring to light that I think can really, you know, impact, and that's the whole point.
And again, I think it's important to say we're not here to tell anybody that they're wrong. We're not here to tell everybody that we're right. I mean, I'm not the first. I can stand here and tell you that I've had issues and toughness and moments in my life that, you know, I have sinned and I have failed, but, you know, I'm a firm believer that any success in life is a bunch of failures put together that accumulate over time, and then eventually you will succeed. but there is no success without failure. That's just the bottom line of that. And again, so we're not here to tell you that your beliefs are wrong or the way that you choose are wrong. What we want to talk about and what we want to deal with is the fact that in sports today, in the sports world that we live in, whether it's high school, youth, major leagues, professional, there is kind of a weird viewpoint on being a Christian. It's almost like a negative thing, which is surprising because we live in a world and in a country that I have to believe that the majority of people do have some sort of a faith. And it's weird that when we bring up the Christian aspect, that it's got such a negative light or that has no place in the sporting world. And that kind of surprises me. And one of the biggest stories, obviously, over the last decade or so has been Tim Tebow. And to where that storm almost became so big that it ruined his chance for a professional career, because that became more the story than can Tim Tebow play the game that he wanted to play. And that to me just kind of boggles my mind that, you know, a guy who is devout in his faith, very open in his faith, and every time he took a knee, somebody had to snap a photo and make it into something that it wasn't. And that drives me nuts. And that's part of what I think Ian and I are going to be talking about, those type of things. Like, why as a society, or even as other Christians, do we have to feel like we have to knock that moment or make it not as special as it can be? I mean, that's a guy who's at the top level in his field. Again, a guy who's playing professional football, and the only story is Tebow going to Tebow today? And I just don't get that.
Yeah, I mean, and that's the thing. It's not, we hear about those stories because, again, he was at the top of his game. But how many of those stories happen every single day that, again, just because it's not a pro athlete, you know, they don't get the light, they don't get the out on the news, and so we don't know about it. But yet that pain or that persecution or whatever it is, even if it's, you know, not like they're getting persecuted life and death, but to the point where they're being maybe emotionally hurt or whatever, again, those things are needed to be brought to light. But also, you know, there needs to be a community that supports and pours out a message that is hopefully bringing inspiration to those who are going through it, right? That the questions of, well, is this, am I wrong in what I'm doing, right? Or, you know, am I truly in a solid foundation to handle this? So all those things, you know, can break someone down who doesn't have that community around them to help support them and bring inspiration. And again, I had that. You know, that's something that was ingrained in me, mm-hmm. is not having that and just having this hunger and this thirst of, you know, I need something out there and that understands what I went through, that understands at a tough, high mentality focus of hey, sports at a high level, mm-hmm. and understanding that culture, but yet still being like, hey, you know, I'm a Christian. and a lot of people don't get that. And that's even another point aspect of, hey, have we, you know, not allowed Christians to really engage the sports world on a level that they should be, mm-hmm. because of their faith, you know, almost sheltering them so much that they really didn't engage it on a level and a tenacity that they could have, you know, because they were almost shying away, if you will. I mean, there's so many facets to this thing. And I feel like, again, there's a big opportunity to bring some unity or at least some clarity, if we can, you know, to that path.
Yeah, and that's the biggest thing, is having the conversation, I think, is where it starts. And again, Ian and I aren't perfect, and we're going to learn a lot from each other as we go through this process. We've known each other for a long time, but even this podcast, there'll be intimate moments throughout where we will kind of take a look and challenge each other, I feel, on certain topics and try to delve deeper in our own faith as we grow with faith in sports. We want to go ahead now and welcome in Percy Garner, who is a current Cleveland Indian relief pitcher. Percy, just kind of to kick it off, I know there was some news that came out in Major League Baseball this previous week where baseball decided that they were really going to break down and limit hazing in Major League Baseball. And I know you're a guy that's had that experience at the Major League level. What are your initial thoughts on the hazing rule? Were you hazed at all when you were brought up to the big leagues? And how do you feel about Major League Baseball preemptively trying to maybe avoid a problem with some of the hazing rituals in baseball?
It's a little different from my situation. I came up and the Indians were a great team. Not to bash any other teams, but there really wasn't any hazing. They accepted me with open arms and treated me like I'd been up there the whole season, which I was shocked because I heard about all the horror stories that go on. But The Indians, they were a tight-knit group. They treated me like, you know, like I said, like I'd been up there the whole year and everything was family. It was pretty good. But overall, based on the horror stories, if they're true, then I think something needed to be done.
Well, when you look at the hierarchy of the game and really with where society is, it kind of seems like an outdated ritual. I understand, you know, having some fun and everybody who's been on teams has probably gone through some kind of a seniority level where, you know, maybe, you know, as you're growing up, you carry the bags or the bats or the helmets, those type of things. But it was interesting just the fact of, you know, some of these, like you mentioned, horror stories, teams making rookies dress up in weird outfits and then also trying to make sure that you're not offending somebody outside. And we live in a society today, we talk about this all the time, where it seems like you can sneeze and offend somebody.
Yeah, exactly. Especially how today is. Yeah, we dressed up, but you know, they kind of compliment our personalities. Like Napoli bought me a whoopee cushion outfit. You know, I can tell you, I'm very open and my flatulating or passing gas. You know, I don't hold it back for anybody. But there can be some crazy outfits, and like one of the times, like, I can remember a lot of the players, there's sometimes they're uncomfortable wearing outfits, but we only had about two of those outfits this year, and luckily I was in one of them.
Well, dude, hey, so going into, you know, a little bit more of a faith focal point from that, I mean, it's, you know, you go from college, you know, when we played together and going through so many steps in the minors and just going through a whole different culture than what you might experience in college, you know, so how did your journey, you know, with keeping your faith and your relationship with Christ, how did that happen? Like what kind of journey did you go through and experience so far?
Well, early on, you know, when I graduated high school, I was really strong in my faith, and then I got to college. And, you know, I hit a valley in college, but also had a peak in college, but towards the end of my career, I had a valley. And my second year, my first full season in pro ball is when I had the strongest breakthrough and the highest peak I've ever had in my life with Jesus. And it just hit me one morning, you know, and I thought it was just something random. I woke up and I'm like, you know what, I'm changing my life. And then I called my mom and my sister, answered the phone, and I told her what had happened. And she goes, I prayed last night that she would get
no way.
I'm like, oh, my gosh. So, yeah, the year 2011, it was August 16th, 2011, my life changed. And I began to get more serious about, you know, my relationship. And, you know, and my goal became to kind of play baseball for a reason, not just for money and fame. You know, it was like, hey, you know what, I can help people in this game. And I've been carrying it out, and, you know, God has blessed me with teammates, at least one or two on each team I've been through the minor league level that have had, you know, have been strong accountability partners for me. You know, they're strong in their faith, and we share stuff, and not many other Christians in baseball are that lucky, and, you know, I thank God for having people around me that's helped me along the way.
Right. Yeah, so, I mean, that's a crazy awesome story, but even from there, like, you know, that was, you know, 2011. So since then, like, how has it gone for you? Has it been really hard to kind of sustain that moment, or has it been a kind of like, you know, a gradual build from there?
Like I would say, it's been rough. You know, the cliche of when you have success, you kind of rely on yourself, and then when you struggle is when you call on God. And I mean, I've had those moments, but I've also had the moments where I've playing really well and everything's going my way, and I'm able to sit back and think, man, like, God is good, and not kind of like, oh, I'm really good,
you know? Right. So,
but it's definitely been a lot of peaks and valleys, but I think it's been a gradual you know, rise over the whole, over these like last 6 years. It's still been going up, even with the peaks and valleys. So overall, it's been going up gradually, and you know, I've been blessed with a wife and
right.
That's following Christ, and just people that surround me just always, you know, keep me on my P's and Q's. Actually, for Christmas, my brother and sister-in-law just bought me and my wife Bibles, and they kind of just, I already have a Bible, obviously, but it kind of just, like, hit me, like, wow, I need to be in His Word more often, and it's just stuff that happens over and over again that kind of, God just, like, kicks me in the butt and, like, yeah, here, get it together.
Right, yeah, I hear you, man.
Once again, this is Beyond the Lights with Ian Nielsen. I'm Pat Doherty. We're also joined by Percy Garner, current Cleveland Indian relief pitcher. Percy, when you look at and you talk about your grounded faith and the continuation, the daily struggle, if you will, because I think it's something that every single day you have to deal with in the sense of the outside world that continues to try to distract you from your journey. What do you do on a daily basis? Do you have certain routines or certain times during the day where you make sure that you have time for yourself and your faith?
Yeah, I have a couple of things I do. You know, music is a part of everyone's life, and I noticed in 2011 when I started, when I changed up my music from secular to Christian style, it just kind of was a daily reminder, like, and always had me singing those songs about Jesus instead of singing, you know, the secular songs about, you know, simple things. And that was one thing, but then, you know, like every human, you kind of, if you don't develop a strong routine, it kind of just goes away. And then I haven't listened to music that much. Only time I really listen to music is on the plane or on the bus now. So things I've done is I was really strong in reading a half a chapter a day, and that right when I woke up. And I was like, that's going to keep me on track, thinking about God. And it helped also. And then I went through another valley. And it's like I don't really have a constant routine that helps me. It's just a few things that I select, and it kind of gets me back on track. So,
when you look at joining the Major League Ball Club and trying to fit in there, I know there's got to be emotions and different feelings as you move through the minor leagues and you have different teams, and obviously it's like almost starting over from square one once you join a new team. When you got to the big leagues, how many distractions, how many temptations did you run into at the Major League level, and how were you able to deal with those and keep yourself on track?
It's different for me, because the temptation I really feel with is lusting and not just women, just like material things. I really love technology, and having a income increase really could, you know, have my mind set on, you know, objects and material things I want to buy instead of focusing on God. And I had my wife there with me, and she's very responsible with money and stuff like that. And she's always there constantly reminding me, like, don't be dumb, you don't need that, or, you know, some people like that. And obviously, with her being there and being around, especially for the first 10 days, even if she came on one of the road trips to Detroit, it's hard to be, you know, lustfully tempted by, you know, the girls you see out. And, you know, it's just the typical things that, you know, professional ball players go through. So I had those two things, which were probably my weaknesses. Those were kind of just blocked off by family. And I was also staying with family when my wife wasn't in town. So not much I can really do other than the simple things around, because the family I was staying with has a huge Christian background. And, you know, you can't, it's very awkward if you're staying with them for free in their house and then you're bringing sin into their home. You don't really feel too good.
Hey, that's a good point, though. I mean, I think that's the biggest thing in any aspect of life. When you have a dream or a goal or something you're working towards, making sure that you put yourself up and set yourself up for success, Ian.
Yeah, I mean, the thing, though, Percy, I wanted to get to, because I'm sitting here just kind of reflecting on, you know, what my journey's been, you know, since we've kind of departed and you went, you know, onto the pros and whatnot. You know, it's like, I remember so many Bible studies, you know, talking about not sinning and maybe not even being a part of the world. But in all reality, you're still, we're obviously still in the world, right? And like on a team, you still want to be a part of that team, right? You need to be a part of that team. And it does get to a point where you start questioning, you know, am I really a part of this team? Or am I just like trying to, am I just blocking off all those activities and not engaging to the point where the team, I'm like segregated from the team. I'm on my own little island. So, you know, especially for young Christians, I think they get perpetuated with, hey, don't do this, don't do that, don't do this, don't do that, to the point where they get on teams and they don't even know how to be a part of it, right? So how do you, in you know, again, how do you sustain being you, right, and still being part of the team, being the Percy that everyone knows, but yet, you know, not getting caught up in some of the things and still being the light? I mean, shoot, if you go out with them, that's can be the best ministry time you ever have, right? So how do you do that?
Well, for me, there was certain opportunities I had. Luckily for me, I had very strong personalities on the team that were Christian. So it wasn't like I didn't feel like an outcast, and he actually was my locker mate, Cody Allen. He, him and Rajay Davis, And me and Rajay are kind of similar. Like, we have very outgoing personalities.
Mm-hmm.
So I cannot go out with my teammates at night, but throughout the day, I'm so, like, you know, some people say I talk a lot, but whatever. I'm so, like, and talk to so many different guys that, because I'm not a guy that goes out, and I don't really consume alcohol. It's not my thing, you know. I mean, drinking a beer is nothing. There's nothing wrong with that.
Right.
But it's just not my thing. But, like we went out one time, and it was more of a responsible, hey, we're just having dinner to celebrate. We just clinched for the playoffs. And, you know, just in those opportunities you get, with like, hey, you having a drink? Like, no, don't do that. It comes off like you just said, like, hey, as a Christian, I can't do this. That's bad. I can't do that. That's
right.
bad. But for me, I'm so outgoing other than being able to go out at night and hang out with the fellas at a bar, per se, that it really doesn't come off that way because I'm so sometimes overbearing, carrying on conversations with guys that I'm constantly around them and conversating and get to knowing them that I don't need to really be out with them at night. So I think my personality, and especially Rajay's, we're kind of out there. So people, like, take notice of our positivity on a daily basis to where you don't have to be a part of the nightlife.
Yeah, so, from me knowing you, I think what it is, man, you don't judge. It's not like, you know, they go out, do their thing, you're like, oh my gosh, look at all those heathens, you know? And so that's the thing. It's like, you know, you can be a Christian who stands up for, you know, the things that you want to. That's being Christ-like. And then don't judge them. And guess what? They still feel loved, right? It's not like they feel rejected by you. And I think that's a huge crucial point because what I see is this divide. You know, hey, if you're a Christian, you can't be like this. It's like, yeah, that might be true that you shouldn't engage those, but that doesn't mean we need to get to the point of segregating, you know, our teams from Christians and non-Christians. And I think that's a huge crucial point. I mean, issue it was for me too. You know, I think if you remember how it was a struggle for me, you know. And
yeah, I definitely know. That's why I think it led to you, you know, getting out of Ball State, right?
Yeah, exactly. Exactly.
what I like to say about that is I definitely, like you said, I don't judge because of, you know, the household I grew up around. I can't really be judgmental because of what my family partook in and all that type of stuff.
Right.
And I just look at everybody, like, because I know I mess up. Obviously, I might sin in different ways than someone else, so I'm not going to judge them on their sins because they might not see my sins because I'm not doing the same sins they're doing.
Yeah,
so,
come on, yeah.
Yeah, I can't say, oh, you know, I'm better than this dude because I don't drink, but, you know, I could be opening and looking at stuff on my laptop that I shouldn't be looking at in privacy, and they don't know that, so. And I never try to judge other people just because you can't, especially when you know, if you're honest with yourself, you know what type of stuff you're doing at home, and that's not part of my personality to be a hypocrite.
That's right, man. That's awesome.
Once again, Percy Garner, current Cleveland Indian relief pitcher. Percy, been a pleasure having you on the show this week.
You said, say that again, sorry.
I said, pleasure having you on the show this week, man.
Oh, pleasure's on mine. I'm glad you guys reached out to me and had me on the show, man. It means a lot.
Best of luck. Obviously, enjoy the offseason, and then best of luck next year. I know Cleveland came up short this year, but a very talented team coming back next season.
Oh, yeah, I'm excited. Very short offseason, though. I'm heading down January 3rd, so it's coming up fast.
It's coming right around the corner.
Yeah, man. I mean, I hope to see you soon. Hope to see you come out to a game and whatnot and see you, but I'm excited for you, man. Congrats.
Yeah, I appreciate it, and I'm glad that you know, you're still on the right path, and even though I think you should be in a professional uniform right now, you know, you have your heart leads you in different ways than it led me. But you know, we're still children of God, and we both love each other, and we'll see each other around. I might give you some tickets if I'm feeling crazy.
Hey, I'll take you up on that. All right, I'll take you up.
All right.
All right. Thanks, man.
Yeah, no problem. See you.
Bye bye.
Once again, this is Beyond the Lights. I'm Pat Doherty. Alongside me, Ian Nielsen. And Ian, we just got done talking to Percy Garner, and what a great story. I mean, a guy that he gets it in the sense that he understands that he sins and he has temptations. I mean, I thought it was very bold to come out and, you know, make the comments that, you know, obviously it's major league level. Like, there are scenarios where he feels like he's tempted, and especially in areas, you know, with other women, and yet he's able to be grounded because he understands where his wife is and his family. And he puts himself, the biggest thing is he puts himself in situations to succeed where I'm going to stay with her family, or I'm not going to go out at night. I'm going to make sure that I get my time with my teammates during the day because I know that if I go out with them at night, it could potentially put me in a situation where I'm not comfortable and potentially would make a bad decision. I think that's one of the biggest things, especially from a team aspect. We've all been on teams. We all know that everybody on the team is not going to believe the same way we do or feel the same way that we do. And I fall into some of those walls. I've made bad decisions because I wanted to fit in, and you know, or I didn't feel strong enough in my faith to say no. The temptation was too big to say, oh, I'm going to participate in that because, you know, I want to be the cool guy. I don't want to be one of the outside people. Percy seems to have a good grasp on that as well, though, and how he can handle those temptations.
Yeah. It, the thing that stuck out to me that I could resonate with is it's the question of, you know, in those moments, what's your focal point? Mm-hmm. Is it trying to connect with your teammates? You know, and that's a good desire. You're right. That's not a bad desire. But in the midst of that, are you going to sacrifice the main goal of your life, which is to have that strong relationship with Christ? You know, if you let that kind of get washed away by whatever comes your way, whether that's, you know, going out and doing things that you shouldn't have because you're trying to, you know, have those times with your teammates, or maybe that's setting yourself up for failure when you know you need to not be a part of you know, that activity or whatever. Mm-hmm. If you're saying no to that, you're saying yes to something else, right? If you say no, I'm going to not do that, you're saying yes to doing something that's for God, right? And that's maturity, right? That's literal maturity, where you're actually taking, like you talked about earlier, failures, you know, and you're not letting them continue to be failures. You're making those and you're learning from them, and now you're making those success stories in your life, and that's what you're here from them. You know, it's like, hey, yeah, I messed up. Mm-hmm. But now he's like, but I have accountability. I did this, I did that. That's learning from them. The worst thing we can do is fail and then continue to fail and not do anything about it. And to hear that to me shows maturity, and that's what a lot of us need to hear. You know, that's what we need to hear, to self-reflect, be, you know, responsible enough with ourselves, to self-reflect enough to see our weaknesses, mm-hmm. to see those things we fail, and then to make those successes.
One of the best sayings that I've ever heard is, don't be afraid to fail, be afraid of quitting.
Yeah.
Because if you quit, there's no opportunity ever for you to succeed. That's going to do it for our first episode of our podcast here, Beyond the Lights. Again, Ian Nielsen with myself, Pat Doherty. We'll be back on our next episode. We talk a little bit about our stories, our journey to where we are in our faith right now, as well as how can you be a better teammate, a better coach, more understanding teammate, more understanding coach, whatever your belief system is. How can you be a better supportive teammate? We've all been on teams where we had great teammates, and we've been on teams where we've had bad teammates as well. Ian and I will tackle that on our next episode. Once again, this has been Beyond the Lights with Ian Nielsen, myself, Pat Doherty. Thanks for tuning in.